When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 40, 41, and 42 of The Shadow Rising, Hunter of Trollocs, Among the Tuatha'on, and A Missing Leaf. Enjoy! All right, welcome to Season 4, Episode 20. Moving back over to Parents' Perspective for these chapters. But before we get going there, no real announcements this week. We have no new patrons after last week we had 4. So this week, none. That's okay. And no big numbers we've hit. You know, we're creeping up on Twitter to, I think, 1,800. But that's kind of an arbitrary number at this point. I'll make a big deal when we get to 2,000. So going towards there, and yeah,
you realize every time you say that we jump by like 600 people.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say it. Keep those numbers going. And then we do have a guest tonight. So we have Pythos Cheetah coming to us from Detroit Rock City. So Pythos, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us, he's a patron of ours.
Good evening, everyone. So I've been reading Wheel of Time for a very long time. My aunt gave me the first two books, I think, right around the time they came out. And it took me about 3 years of attempting to read them to actually get out of the Two Rivers. But once I did, I've never really looked back. I probably read the first 6 or 7 books, probably 10 times each by this point.
Okay.
Impressive.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And then next week,
I'm a librarian by trade. So reading kind of is my business.
That's awesome. You have to give me some cool. Some book recommendations then. We do have a guest next week. Yeah, we do have a guest next week coming on with us. So I'd like to announce that we have Loyal's Book Club. Both Prince Adeline's, Prince Adeline's brother and Eric are coming on to join us. So looking forward to having them on next week. Be a lot of fun with them. And that's it for really announcements. So moving to personal life. Wow. A lot's happened since last week. Let's see. I went drinking with Ian on Saturday night. That was a fun time.
Shit show.
Shit show. It was a fun time. I had a good time. And then didn't wake up early in the morning because we had to drive down to Virginia Beach because we went met with friends down there, down in Sandbridge. It's more of a little off the tourist beaten path. Of Virginia Beach and hung out
I
on
like
the beach.
Sandbridge is cute.
Yeah, Sandbridge is awesome.
It's nice.
Yeah, and we hung out there on the beach and hung out with some friends of ours and their family. Had a good time. And then got back and decided that, you know, that it's time to go buy a new stove and microwave because I broke my last stove because I tried to burn down my house. Long story. So we end up buying a new stove and microwave, and I decided to try to install them both myself, which a stove is really easy because you just pull it out and plug it in. Whoever installed my previous microwave, the previous owner, definitely did not do us any favors, and it was like a shoddy job, and we had to take apart and pull apart tons of stuff and rebuild parts of the cabinets, and it was just a mess. It took multiple days. I just finally got it done tonight. Been working on that for 3 nights in a row, so Have a working microwave now. So,
wow.
my wife was a little upset about it just because we didn't have a microwave for 3 days and the kids want to heat something up. They're like, oh, you can use the oven. So that's my life right now.
Burning down your house is not generally recommended.
No, it's not. But when you have kids running around, and my wife was at a meeting and she left the food on the stove and I was supposed to turn it down to low. And the kids were screaming in the other room, and I just ran in there to turn it down low, and I turned it on high and then ran back to the kids. And yeah, fast forward an hour later, and there's smoke billowing out everywhere, and we
thank God for fire insurance, right?
Yeah, well, no, nothing caught on fire.
We have done that at least once here.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean,
pot literally melt as we are taking it off.
Yeah, this one, it cracked the glass because it's a stovetop that has, you know, the glass or whatever. It cracked the glass on it, and so we just got a new one, which is fine. But whatever. Fun times. This happened actually months and months and months ago, so this is not a new thing. It's just that we couldn't use one of the burners anymore, so it was still a functional stove, so we still just used it for a while, but then we finally bit the bullet and got a fully functional stove. So, with that being said, how about you guys? What's new in personal life for you?
So I let some folks know we're recording a day late because yesterday I went to a concert. I went to see Santana. It was a bit of a double date. Meredith and I went with my dad and Jen, his wife. Those of y'all that are on Discord now, I just posted a picture from dinner beforehand because she's just so stinking cute. I can't get over it. The concert was amazing. We were like the youngest people there, but everybody was jamming. And like we were kind of joking, you know, she's a nurse practitioner. I was like, I hope you took note of where all the AEDs were when we came in here. It's going to be like some heart attacks. Any moment they're going to stop the show and ask for a doctor or something. But no, it was good. Santana's mid-70s, and this guy is just all over the stage jamming. He hasn't skipped a beat. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing for another 10 years. It was great. I'm glad I did it.
He knows how to use that walker really, really well. Like with the...
he don't even need it, man. He is spry. It was impressive. And I just got the vibe like from everybody up there. They were just so chill and taking turns jamming and stuff. It was like, you know, the old high school, college group of friends playing at some parent's garage band or whatever and just hanging out and having a good time. And that's what it felt like. It was super cool.
Awesome.
So, cool. Yeah. Got a lot of chores around the new house this week. That's going to be boring. A lot of painting, doing some floor work, blah, blah, blah. Getting ready for November 18th and 19th for the big house party. Watching the show on repeat
over and over and over again.
That's it.
I'm trying to convince some of our patrons actually to come.
When does it come out again?
November 19th.
I think we might have one. We might have one. I won't say who yet because they're working it out. But
okay, that would be cool. Yeah, I took the day off, so I just have to get I have to tell my wife about it. I haven't done that yet, but I took the day off, so I will be available.
It's so sensitive. That's the week before Thanksgiving, so I know we'll probably be headed that way the next weekend. So,
maybe I'll try to make it out there. We'll see.
Okay.
Anyway,
that'd be cool.
Personal life for me. So the COVID test came back negative, which is great.
Awesome.
So the doctor was like, either you had COVID or you had the flu, one of the two, which is fine by me. So Friday night, you know, COVID test came back negative. So we're like, hey, we're hungry. Let's go out and grab a bite to eat and bring it home. That way we're still not around people, but we're still getting out of the house. I pull up to a stoplight, look to my left, and there's this black car. And they're just kind of chilling beside me. I'm like, cool. And then the light turns green and we both go. And then the black car gets closer and closer and closer. And the black car merges into me. At about 35 miles an hour. So let me tell you, what pissed me off more was they hit me. I slam on my brakes after kind of recovering from the whiplash moment, throw my car into park in time to see the car continue to drive by me.
Oh.
Yeah. Sure. I memorized the driver's plate. So, or license plate, excuse me. So I definitely like sent that on to the police officers who I called like instantly, you know, got through the whole insurance thing. An hour and a half later, I'm still waiting for a tow truck and the police officers to show up. Big city life. It really sucks. The tow truck never showed up. A second round of police officers showed up because the first guy came there for like 3 minutes and then flew off for something more important. We had to have the police tow the car. And I'm still waiting on insurance to get back to me because the tow truck was supposed to take my car from the police to the service place, you know, like today, and it's still sitting waiting. And again, my door is pinned in on itself, so that means the frame may be bent, which means they'll probably total my vehicle, which sucks.
Oh, might get a new car out of it, maybe.
But we're alive, and I'm good, and Chanel's good. Whiplash and some strains and my back really hurting right now, which y'all know my back is never my friend anyway. Mm-hmm. So the CBD vape pen has been a godsend.
There you go.
Yeah, that stinks, man. I'm sorry to hear that. That's the worst.
Man, you know, I'm learning to just take the grace in the moments that I do have and enjoy the good stuff that does occur, because there's enough shitty things that happen in my life that I appreciate all the good.
That's good, man. Good perspective.
Pythos, would you like to talk a little bit about your personal life?
Sure. About 2 months now into the first full-time job I've ever had. I'm officially my library's children's librarian now.
Awesome.
Though, unfortunately, we don't have any story times or anything planned because of COVID, so I haven't actually really changed my day-to-day duties at all. But I used to have health insurance now.
Yeah, that is great. Bonus.
It's important.
And because I'm kind of second in command, that means I'm going to watch Wheel Time at work the day it comes out, and no one is going to stop me.
Yes.
That's awesome. Love it. I'm excited for that for you.
So let's move right into chapter 40. We left off many, many episodes ago with Tonight We Hunt Trollocs, and this chapter title is Hunter of Trollocs, and we got the Trolloc symbol. So,
wow, you can really smell.
Super excited to be here.
You can really smell the leaves of the apple trees and the purple finch.
Yeah.
You can really hear it, you know, and see it.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on where they were at right when you read apple trees? Because once I read that, I was like, sweet, we're going to see Trollocs. Then I read apple trees, and I was like, dang it, I'm starting a Trolloc chapter in tears. Screw you, Jordan. You did it again in the first sentence. You ruined a whole chapter for me.
Yeah, we start with Perrin visiting his family's grave. And yeah, it's a little tough, but at the same time, he's counting out arrows and just getting ready to whoop anybody's ass who did this. And then one of the Luwans appears and announces that Fael and Luke are there to see him. Good old Lord Luke. Back.
The fact that there's 14 generations at one time in there, that's really, like, that's super disheartening. Is he, like, the only Abara left?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As far as we're aware.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
And I know we said we think we know, well, we were told who actually killed his family. Mm-hmm. But then what if the rest of his family are Wolf Brother type people? They just didn't let him in on the family secret yet because he didn't reach wolf puberty. They're waiting for him to blossom. And maybe all the wolves that Lord Luke has been killing was his family. Like, I don't know. I think I've read enough that maybe that's not a thing, but I'm still thinking maybe it could be a thing. Well, I say Lord Luke, Slayer. I should say Slayer. Yeah. Because we also don't know who Slayer is either.
Yeah, like, I'm at a point now where I'm doubting that Lord Luke is Slayer.
True. Yeah, by the end of...
Like, Lord Luke looks too good. Yeah. He's just such a dashing character.
Is a dashing character. Whereas Slayer's the one that looks like Lan, if I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah. From Malkier. Yeah. Like, he Well, we're way jumping ahead, but
who have said he looks like?
Yeah. So that's the big piece.
Yeah, we are jumping ahead. So,
going backwards, it is kind of interesting. You know, Perrin was a little perturbed. He's like, "How is it that I don't know that people are coming up on me when I have people out there watching?" You know, goes to show that the people that he has with them really aren't skilled. They're skilled hunters, so you would think, or I would hope, they'd be skilled hunters. Or the other three boys that we've watched come from the Edmonds field were pretty skilled, and they were able-bodied, you know, in compared to the others from different areas. So you'd think the majority of the people from the Edmonds field would be able to at least track, scout, and then, you know when people are coming up on you. But for the fact that there's two people, one of which is Fael coming up on them, you know, that's slacking a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, they also inform them as well that Alana keeps on going missing without a word. Thoughts?
Yeah, and who else was surprised by her going off? Was it one of her warders? Yeah.
One of her warders was, yeah.
So that's where, we already had suspicions about her. And, you know, Varen's given her warnings. But the fact that her warder, and she only has one warder or two?
She had two. One was killed, remember, by White Cloaks.
Right. And so her warder not knowing where she's going, I feel like that's odd.
I agree. Yeah. We have seen, you know, women being controlled by another woman who kind of come and go as they're told.
Yeah. Well, Perrin's distrusting of both Alana and Varen at this point. And Fael informs him that hundreds of people have been flocking to Emmon's Field, that his word's been spreading due to his warnings. And there will be stories told of the Two Rivers for thousands of years. Perrin Goldeneyes, Hunter of the Trollocs.
Kind of a cool name, Goldeneye.
It is. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he throws an S on there, so it's not we're not stealing from Bond or anything.
Bond, yeah.
Yeah. No trademark issues.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So there's also a little back and forth about, you know, why? How come you don't want Lord Luke knowing about the Aiel? And Perrin's like, look, of however many places that have been attacked, Lord Luke visited, like, I forget the exact number, but it's a lot of
five.
Them, literally
five?
Right before it happened. And she's like, oh, come on, Lukey Poo. There's no way Lukey Poo can
That's
do that.
What got me is how into him Fael seems to be. I'm like, is she really taken by his charm?
Yep, I think so. I think that might be a skill he has. Like, I'm not saying
or maybe
he's
a power.
Channeler at this point, but he could be. He could be Forsaken still, but just very different than the other Forsaken we've met. And if he's Forsaken, he could channel. And, you know, maybe he has the skill of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Compel a little bit, charm, I guess, like what you said. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've had another person that was really able to do that as well.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
She charmed you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, so apparently I'm not the only one. Now, I will say I didn't get spoiled in doing this, but I did let YouTube run for a little while after watching the trailer again, and it moved on to something that was spoilery, and it was some video about, like, I don't know. I didn't watch it long enough, but I know right off the bat the guy that was doing the video was all about Lanfear and how smoking hot she is and da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, I know, right? It ain't just me. there's other guys out there that are digging her.
Giggity.
Oh yeah. Giggity. Oh, Matt Hatch from the Dusty Wheel. Lanfear's his absolute favorite. Which now he's hit 15,000 15,000 subscribers. So he has to do Manfear now cosplay. So we're still waiting for that one. But yeah, so
just shoot him a message for me and let him know that I called dibs.
Okay.
Dibs, bro.
Yeah, there you go. So, Perrin at this point is kind of pondering over the events of what's happened the last few days. They've been ambushing or hunting. They have been hunting Trollocs. I think a lot of the village boys didn't take him serious when he said, we're going to hunt Trollocs. They're like, yeah, we're going to hunt Trollocs. Like, wait, we're really going to hunt Trollocs? Yep. So the first camp they took out had, like, what, 30-something Trollocs? And the second one had over 40 in a fade. So, and they've taken out two camps at this point. So they're kind of trying to go around and there's these pockets of Trollocs everywhere. So what do you guys think about that? That there's, you know, decent pockets of Trollocs scattered around to Two Rivers, and
it's,
what do you think's going on?
Quite confusing at the moment that we first read it. And that's all I'm going to say.
At the moment I'm reading this, not getting ahead a couple chapters, you know, I'm still thinking, all right, the way gate is closed. So the Trollocs that are here that might have traveled through the ways, like, they've been here. So then I'm, like, trying to recalculate in my mind, like, okay, how many came through before Perrin and them were able to shut it? And then if that's the case, how come there hasn't been more destruction? Because what we know about Trollocs is they'll just go from place to place and destroy shit. I don't know. And then by the time I try to process it, I got a couple chapters ahead, and I was like, oh.
Now we know.
Someone opened it back up.
Yeah.
So I was correct. It's at 50,000 subscribers that he's going to go with Manfear. So It's not 15. So he hasn't got there yet. Not quite the man. Well,
the important thing is dibs, so.
Exactly.
I think it's interesting that if you think back to the very first book, a Fade and a bunch of Trollocs, like, burnt down half of Emmons Field, and now we're four books ahead, and Perrin and a bunch of boys who have never really fought or anything before take out a group of Trollocs and the Fade. So quite a bit of power creep here, even in the secondary characters. Not even talking about, like, Rand or anything.
They do got Aiel, too, helping them. Come on.
Little Aiel help.
Give the Aiel some credit.
And there is the Manethrin blood that apparently was, you know, dormant. But I get the feeling, like, as you poke and prod these guys, once they're forced to fight, they're forced to be reckoned with. And Perrin, so Perrin isn't building this grand army right now. He's not saying, give me every, you know, abled body. I don't even care if it's some old dude, if they can kind of shoot a bow. Like, he talks about it at one point. He's like, he's only taking the good ones. And they got to be able to hang, and they got to, you know, have some skill with the bow and everything. So he's like putting together his own little special forces unit. And there's even one part where it's talking about they're sitting around and nobody's shaving, either to try and look like Perrin or because it's miserable to shave when it's cold, or it's miserable to shave, period. But I just see, like, these little SF Edmonds Fielders, Two Rivers folk. Yeah, you know. So pretty cool. Small but skilled. And they're gaining, so also he's Taviren, so, right, they're drawn to him. Everybody seems to be very impressed with what Perrin's doing, so that gives these young bucks confidence. And all of them have experienced some sort of loss recently. If not them directly, people that they know have been harmed by these Trollocs. So they're definitely willing to fight. They're motivated. And they've got somebody awesome to follow. So it's a perfect storm right now.
And people will tell you this all the time, especially in military battles. If you go through history, heart has a lot that plays into winning battles. If there is no heart there, doesn't matter how much training, how much money, and how much equipment you have. If you don't have the heart to actually fight back, then not going to mention more recent examples of this. You know, you spend trillions of dollars and training people, and if they don't have the heart to fight, doesn't matter. So, and that's tried and true throughout history.
You gotta want it. Gotta be motivated. And the training part is funny. I think I talked about this on another episode. You know, before my first deployment, you go to the field, you go to the ranges, and you practice and you train and you practice on all the weapon systems. And sometimes the people that are really good in a training environment freeze up and hesitate. Or just they don't operate as well when the bullets actually start flying. And then sometimes there's the quiet guy that did horrible in the training portion, was always getting in trouble, like barely qualified on his weapon system. Then the bullets start flying, and this guy's going motherfucking Rambo and screaming and jumping over stuff and just sending rounds downrange. So, but it seems like Perrin's done a really good job of gleaning who he's going to keep in his party, who he's taking with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
And at one point, when Lord Luke shows up, he finally talks to them and says, "Hey, you know, we should all go back to Emmons Field." And Perrin's like, "Well," and he's like, "Yeah, we haven't seen Trollocs or heard Trollocs in days. You know, maybe Perrin, you should be reasonable. You know, maybe we've killed them all. We should go back." And Perrin's like, "I'm not going back. You guys can go back if you want, but I'm staying here and fighting. I'll be a one man army." And they all decide to stay after this. But yeah, it was a little speech there where he was, yeah. I don't care what you guys do. You just don't have to fight. But
well, so I'm going to be fair to my boy Perrin here. I got to come to, like, the direct quote puts him in a different light. Now, mind you, his own thoughts at the end are a whole other subject. But he's like, we're hunting Trollocs. Not everyone has left their farm yet. And every band we find and kill means farms not burned and more people with a chance to reach safety. So he's doing it for a very chivalrous reason, not just because he wants to kill Trolloc, because he's trying to make sure that his people survive. Now, he begins to doubt himself later, but you know, I believe in Perrin.
And I don't think he's really trying to give these boys shit. I mean, there's one in particular he seems to, you know, dislike, verbally jab a little bit. But when he says, when he says, look, anybody who wants to go home, I mean, just go. I'm not going to make you stay. It's your choice. And I didn't get the vibe that he was trying to guilt him into it or attack their pride or anything. I'm sure they felt that way when they heard it. But he was like, me? I think there's more out there. So I'm gonna keep looking for him and mess him up. But if y'all want to go, go. Mm-hmm. And if people would have chose to go back, I don't think he would have judged them.
Nope.
Because at that point, he only wanted people with them that wanted to go hunt Trollocs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. True. So anything from this before the Aiel show back up? Anything?
Wait, the Aiel show back up?
Yeah, Gaul and Banshee, they appear.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that inform them of the new location of Trollocs, right?
I should probably read the chat. No kidding.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for that because I was literally about to start talking about that. So right at the end of this speech, bam, they show up and they're like, by the way, we found Trollocs. They're in this location heading in that direction. There's this many of them. And the best part of all of that is
the smile on Perrin's face.
Perrin turning to Lord Luke and be like, hey, Lukey Poo. Why don't you come show us how it's done? And Luke adjusts his belt and makes himself, you know. Well, so there's more things I need to go tend to back at HQ. I gotta go write up some reports and put a cover letter on that TPS. And, you know, just a lot of... that's, I'm going to have to go take care of that. Fael, why don't you come with me? Fael's like, fuck off, bro. And he's like, okay. Well, whatever.
It's funny. Luke smiled fractionally. It's just a smirk, a slight grin. But see, okay, so I have to pause here for a minute. Knowing what I know about what happens next, Luke made the right decision.
Or is Luke the one giving out intel?
Like, that's my other and now that's the other statement I was gonna make is let's move forward that way we can say that now who the fuck snitched
so
statement.
When I talk about Luke, Luke still,
he's still sus.
Exactly. Very sus.
Thank you.
I agree.
And we're assuming all the Forsaken operate in a similar manner. So he could be Forsaken, but maybe he's more like the Loki type character. He's not like in your face, I'm just going to lead armies and crush you sort of thing. Maybe this is part of his skill. He butters you up and, you know, and then has a
like
little
Lanfear?
Team of Trollocs to sneak in there and
like
whack
Lanfear?
You. And then he goes, oh no, what happened? I'm still your
maybe
friend.
Maybe his best friend's Lanfear.
Why are you talking about
Lanfear
like that?
I've got to do that. Like, I'm sorry. I know you hear me. I know you hear every word I'm saying. No, but I completely agree. So it's like, Fael frowns at Perrin because clearly she agrees with Luke, but she's not going to sit here and show her man up in the middle of everything that's going on, especially now that he's Perrin Golden Eyes. Like, she's got to stick by his side and support him. Even if she disagrees. And she's like, you still don't trust him? And he's like, I don't trust that hoe. No, I'm not going to trust him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And maybe he does. Maybe he definitely does because he's controlling what these Trollocs are doing. I don't know. But I do know this much. The fact that we go after the Trollocs, you know, we have the suggestions of the Aiel people of how best to surround the Trolloc and destroy them, and then for the Trolloc to end up getting behind the crew, somebody snitched. I don't care. Somebody said something.
Yeah. Yep. That's an intel leak. It's like they knew what their plan was going to be and responded to that.
Yeah. And Perrin doesn't trust Luke at all. I mean, he even has the quote where Fael asks him, like, do you trust Luke? And he says, I trust you, my bow, and my axe.
And she blushes.
That's it. Right. So yeah, so so at this point they head out to go fight the Trollocs. They wait for over an hour until the Trollocs finally reach them. And then all of a sudden they realize that the Trollocs are attacking from behind. So they've been suckered.
Two giggities? Does that get giggity giggity?
Does Trollocs get
it from behind? Once he realized he was getting it from behind, he turns and screams, Fael!
My mother!
All right, that's three giggities now that I think about it. Oh, Lordy. Yeah.
Shout out to Fael.
A little bit of overconfidence there by Perrin. Because I feel like it's not just the time going by, but even he was thinking about it. He's like, look, the way the wind's blowing and everything, if they're coming from that direction, I should be able to smell it. And he's right. So we've been building up, his character's been building up where he's trusting his instincts more. He's starting to embrace a little bit more with this Wolf Brother stuff's giving him. And then at this point, he's just absolutely certain that they're in the right spot. Nothing bad can happen, even though all of the signs are pointing to they're not coming from the direction we thought. And it was just right. the very last second that, you know, the wind swirled and he realized, holy shit, they're behind us. Mm-hmm. And remember, they didn't just get to jump on him. They got to jump mm-hmm. on some Aiel, too.
Yep.
Perrin was the first to realize that they were coming from behind. So like you said, Chris, there's no way for it for them Trollocs and Ufade to get that sort of jump. Somebody spilled the beans.
That's why.
You think that the last second wind swirl is the Tavirin thing?
Poison. You know, I didn't think about that, Pythos.
Very much could be.
I didn't even think about that, but it would make perfect sense.
I mean, how much worse would it be if he wasn't able to? So it's not just Perrin realizing and be able to redirect the fight, but maybe in that split second, even maybe Fael heard him and they were able to be on guard. I think he's already starting to scream, like rally to him, they're behind us. That gives everybody else, the Emmons Fielders, that extra split second to be able to turn and redirect their attentions.
True.
You're right.
So let's take a pause right now for an emergency meeting. If you guys remember back in early COVID days, we played Among Us a lot. Yep. So who is it? Who's the imposter? Mm-hmm. Who's sus?
You know, at one point I thought it could be our Aiel friend.
Because
we did make the statement, we don't know if there's any Aiel Dark friend.
Oh, yeah.
They were the ones.
I don't get that vibe, but that's true. I don't get that vibe, but you're right. It's on the list of possibilities.
Yeah.
Who's the other ice?
Laura Luke, of course, I rode off.
Alana and Baron.
Yeah, so Alana's still pretty sus.
She has been disappearing.
But she's nowhere near, though.
Her warder, I think, is also sus.
Gull, our stone dog.
I mean, he just happens to show up to save the day and, you know, dice up the fade.
Yeah, all right, we have to talk about what the fade says before we get to that.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, so he calls out for Fael. Fael? Oh, you're Fael. She was delicious.
Well, dumb on his part, because that really that gave Perrin just enough adrenaline and fight to be able to hold him off. Mm-hmm. And obviously not defeat him, but hold him off until the warder could come through and finish him off.
Well, he almost died. I mean, he slips in the mud, and he's about to die until the warder shows up just in time.
Just in time.
And that could be a Tavirin thing, too.
Yep.
Yeah, but, so this is tough. I don't normally believe in coincidences, but the Tavirin thing, I don't know. I guess Jordan leaves the door open for that. Normally when there's a coincidence like that, the people involved are automatically sus in my book. So that's why I was thinking very heavily, all right, this warder, even though he's pretending to be surprised that, oh, my Aes Sedai disappeared, I don't know, what happened? He might be in on it with her, which makes sense if she is sus, if she's Black Aja, or if she's up to some nefarious whatever on her own. Like, wouldn't she bring her warder in on it? I mean, why not? She can compel him to do what she wants, right?
That's maybe. True.
It would make sense.
So maybe it's both of them.
If she is Black Aja, and I'm not saying she is or isn't, it would make sense to have a darker warder.
Right.
That or my question would be is, if she breaks her ties with the White Tower, whether or not that frees the warder. Like, if she, you know, forsakes her oaths, does that free her warder to then have free will? That's something I had been thinking about for a minute.
They haven't really gone into the specifics of how you make that bond yet.
Yeah,
we haven't gone into the making it, the breaking it, the control of it. Like, it's almost like a Shan Chen thing, but instead of having a bracelet and a necklace attached, it's a mental, you know, ball and chain.
Yeah, we've gotten into a little bit about the bond, but just basically that the, you know, the warders get some kind of added benefits from it. Some keen senses and things like that. Better fighters.
But what are the rules? What are all
rules? There ain't no rules.
I mean, and Moraine talks to Lan a lot about the bond. Like, does the bond chafe, you know, on you? It's,
she makes it sound like it's a physical. There's like a physical aspect to it. Of course, there is the mental, because that's really all it is. But, you know, I just want to know more about it.
Yeah, it's been implied that they can make their warders do stuff with the bomb, but we've never actually seen that yet, or at least that we know of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So after this great attack scene, it's the Two Rivers party has been pretty much devastated. I mean, Perrin calls in the rally to him. The men come. The ones that are still alive. He notices that Fael's still alive. He's relieved by that. But then he learns that 27 of his men were killed in this skirmish. So
out of how many? Did he 60? Have 100?
Or was it 70?
I think it was 60 or 70. But still a large. That's still a large percentage of. Yeah, we're talking. Which half. Is not. That's still
a third.
Yeah, it's still not a good battle.
No, and you get the biggest no shit Sherlock moment of the whole book. They didn't come as we expected. Well, yeah. Duh.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
There
I'm so
it
glad
is.
You got it.
Yeah, that's what she said.
It was all on the back.
Yeah,
that, you know, it's implied at this point.
Just gonna stop there. Yeah. So after all, anything from this whole attack scene? I mean, anything else we want to talk about before we move to the end of this chapter?
Well, we haven't even really mentioned Perrin getting injured yet.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Good point.
Oh yeah. Well, Perrin took an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Cry me a river.
It sucks that he took it right off the bat, and somehow was able to fight through it and still whack a few people and. At least survive the fade.
I can't imagine taking an arrow. Like, I mean, like a gunshot wound's pretty clean. It usually goes in and out. At least if it does, it's good. If it goes in and out, it doesn't hit anything vital. An arrow is just brutal.
And it's like big, it's still there. Fish hook. It's protruding.
I mean, I was once an adventurer and then took an arrow in the knee and then... Skyrim reference.
Yeah.
No, my father's been shot by an arrow. Really? Yeah, when he was in high school, or I think it was in middle school, he got shot by an arrow by his friend. They were out hunting wabbits, of all things, with bows. And his friend was wearing moccasins, but he didn't lace them up, so they're flip-flopping, down low. So my dad decided to take a shot, and while it flipped down, he nailed the heel of his friend's moccasin to the ground with an arrow. Kind of show it off, and his friend tried to do the same thing, and my dad took an arrow through the calf.
I can just see like a Family Guy scene of like 5 minutes of like, what do you do?
Well, he never went to the hospital either because he was so scared his father would beat the shit out of him for going hunting with arrows. He ended up breaking the arrow off and then pulling it out himself and then wrapping it in bed sheets and throwing the bed sheets away so his parents wouldn't find out.
That's gangsta. And,
yeah. Like literally end up pushing the arrow through and then just like holding the wound shut and never went to the hospital, never read anything, and just threw the bed sheets away and try to,
yeah.
Cover it up. It was actually funny. He never told his mom until we were adults. So my grandmother was over for dinner, and I brought up the story, and my dad's like, so there's something I never told you.
By the way, mom. That's great.
Remember the time I had a lip for like a few months back when I was in middle school? I took an arrow to the leg.
I still run into that all the time. And especially like Alan, when you're around at my mom's house, we'll start telling stories about back in the day, and my mom will be like, wait, what? And I'm like, what? Oh, we never told you that? That's crazy. I would have thought the cops would have told you that six squad cars showed up to your house.
Your mom's like, I owe you so many more ass whippings than I thought.
Yeah. My parents get to the point where if I start telling stories from high school, they say, we don't want to know. We just don't want
to
know.
They're so happy, like, you've made it to where you are, Alan.
You've given us grandchildren. We're,
right. You're doing good now, so whatever it took to get here, just keep it to yourself.
Just keep it to yourself. We don't want to know. After this whole entire scene and Perrin takes an arrow, they decide that they need to find some place to hunker down and camp, and they hear music. And head towards the music. What do you guys think when you said they heard music? What did you guys think?
I knew it was travelers.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Who else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you read the chapter titles to us. So
sure.
that was an easy pick.
Yeah.
I was hoping on Chris's behalf that we'd run into Elias more than anything. I cared less about the Tinkers, more about Elias. So
I like
a little disappointment here.
Ready for Elias, and then it's like, have you seen Elias? I'm like, well, throw the book in the air, walk off.
Same
I'll come
here.
Back to it in an hour.
He's like, this chapter's not fun anymore because they're just gonna sit there and go, everybody be peaceful. Parents will be like, literally, we've been fighting Trollocs for like how long? Like, I've killed so many Trollocs. I'm not gonna stop killing Trollocs.
Do you see the arrow in my body right now?
I have a fucking arrow in my body. I'm gonna go find whoever did all this.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you can't pull an arrow out. You gotta push it through. It's
when they say these are barbed, so that makes it even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to push it through. Doesn't come out. If you try to pull it out the same way it came in, you're going to leave a lot worse of a wound. It's going to pull everything out with
chunks
it.
Of flesh.
Yeah, if you ever see like hunting arrows, I mean, most people when they shoot bone arrows, they shoot them at camp or something like that, and they use training arrows. So they're just like the ones that have like little rounded tips on it, blunt tips, or even if they have a spike, it's just like a smooth spike. An actual hunting tip arrow, at least the ones I've always seen or used, they have like razor sharp flanges that snap out as soon as they go in.
Yeah,
so
they don't come out
if you try to pull them out. It's like three times, or not three, but twice the size coming back out, and it's gonna cut everything on the way back out. So. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen Rambo. If you get the tips that explode, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
I'm impressed at how well parents handle that arrow, though. If you think about Cam, took like one nick
like
from
a
Trolloc sword, and then he was like delirious an hour later. And Perrin has this arrow in him for like half a day, and he's still upright.
Yeah,
right. So I thought about that, and I guess a couple options, like maybe this arrow wasn't tipped with whatever poisoned Tam. That's possible. But if it is, we all know that the wolves love, their favorite thing to do is to hunt Trollocs and tear them apart. And the only thing better than that is if there's a merge roll, they're like, oh, hell yeah. Like they pounce and they don't care. They're like honey badgers going after cobras. Like, and maybe they're able to withstand the venom, the poison, a little bit better than your average man. So if anybody else in the group got caught with that arrow, it's possible. You're right. Maybe they survived the wound itself, but the poison gets them.
But your arrow came from a Trolloc, and the blade was from a Mergil, right?
No, the blade that got Tam was Trolloc.
It was a Trolloc blade. That's right. You're right.
But it wasn't a Trolloc arrow.
Right. So, again, it might not have been dipped
in
through
poison
or whatever.
Which would be stupid. I would definitely try to kill you with poison.
If I had something I could dip my stuff in and...
Yeah.
Or he could have Princess Bride'd it and like actually built an immunity so he can trade the cups back and forth. And
but I know that you know that I know that you would put the cup in front of me. So this is my. And then wait a minute. Why am I stabbing myself with an arrow? This doesn't even make sense anymore. I was gonna say crazy theory. You could write it in pencil, but maybe these attacks are, you know, obviously they don't care about killing the Edmonds fielder, but maybe the intent was not to kill Perrin, but still they're trying to push him in a certain direction or guide him or control him, whatever. So I don't know that Trollocs would have the ability to think that smart or have that sort of strategy. Maybe Fades didn't want to actually kill Perrin.
Yeah.
Somehow they're trying to play head games with him, and I don't know.
Maybe trying to capture him.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because we've heard that. I mean, in book one, I mean, their goal was to they had catch poles. They were trying to capture him, not kill him.
True.
So maybe they're still trying to capture. But yeah, we'll see. Anything else from these chapters, or anything that we missed?
He said that plurally, like we've talked about more than one.
Oh, this chapter.
So Fael's alive, though, and didn't get eaten.
Yeah. That's good.
So
good news.
The Mergil can lie.
The Mergil was just fucking with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for him, though. I don't know what he... Again, I don't know what that Mergil was thinking.
Yeah. It probably wasn't a good strategy on his part. No. No, not at all. So, you guys ready to move on to the next chapter?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and keep going. Chapter 41, Among the Tuathon.
Among Us.
Tuathon. You have to swallow it. Tuathon.
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 It's a guttural sound in the back of your throat.
Yeah. And our symbol is the trifold leaf, little vine thingy. Like,
yeah.
What did Cinderella, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
So many places. The judgment on the cheetah face right now is so real.
He stays so neutral. We crack jokes and he's just like, okay, sure.
You're so immature. This is why he said, I work with children and I feel like I'm with them right now.
Yeah. Well, I have to wear this because I can't let my expression give it away every time you get something right.
Yeah.
Or no, it's perfect.
Hideously wrong.
I'm used to looking at the guest, especially when it's tree. Like, I'll make a guess and then I'll look and be like, let's see if they have a tail. But you have no tails. There's nothing. You have a tail.
Yeah. Tree, you've been challenged. No, can you beat us? Can you get rid of your tail?
Yeah, well, it probably will come off at the break, so then you'll get everything in chapter 3.
Hey, there we go.
There you go. Awesome. There you go. So, we pick off right where we left off, where Perrin's heading into the camp, and it's the Tinker Camp, and decide to spend the night there. The Aiel decide that, we ain't going there.
Dull's like, I'll go somewhere else. Like, I don't even need to go there.
And we learned this from the Crystal Columns, how they feel about Tinkers. But at the same time, like...
It's their own fault.
Man, you guys are messed up.
Yeah. They can't really feel threatened by him. So, like...
No.
I don't like the fact that there isn't at least a curiosity among these Aiel to...
It's a prejudice.
...learn about this group of people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've just always had that in me. Like, even, you know, I was raised a certain way, and... not that my parents were like wildly racist or anything. My mom certainly not, but like just generational stuff and sayings or whatever that they would say and that they were taught when they were kids. Right. And you know, it slowly gets better generation to generation. But anyways, even though like I would hear some things, I'd be like, well, I'd rather form my own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, I need to meet them and talk to them.
Yeah. My parents, no, my grandparents, different story. Yeah,
sure.
But
my grandfather.
Unfortunately, there's bigotry and stupid reasons to dislike people everywhere. But I guess I never take other people's word for it. I'm not like, well, I have to hate this group because whatever reason. Because
I was told.
Like, well, when I get a chance, I'm going to go talk to these people. But there's none of that for these IO. They're just like, nope, we're going this way. Screw y'all.
Yeah, I mean, you get that in a lot of places, especially, and a lot of it has to do with ignorance. I mean, especially if you never talked to groups of people before. I mean, I know, I'll give a really good example. There is at least somewhat around 9/11, 20 years ago, and shortly thereafter, a very Islamic phobia thing that started in America, especially since we're at war with Iraq and
huge.
And,
you're sugarcoating it. It was bad actually for a while.
It was bad.
Yeah,
it was really bad. And when I sailed overseas, I went to Indonesia and Malaysia, and those are Muslim countries. And definitely, they had the impression that all Americans hated them. And getting to know those people, like awesome people, and it's that there's lots of stereotypes that Americans have, and there's lots of stereotypes they have about Americans too. Very, very, goes both ways. I met a Pakistani in Singapore that was, very anti-American. And we actually had a long talk over KFC, actually, of all things.
Bringing people together.
Bringing people together.
That story's finger looking good.
One fried chicken.
Yeah, and it was great. We actually ended up coming to, I mean, he never had actually ever met an American. When I finally told him I was an American, he didn't believe me because we'd been talking for a few hours at that point. And he's like, no, you're fucking with me, blah, blah, blah. You're not really
you'd
American.
You'd be a total a-hole if you're an American.
Yeah, if you're American, you'd be a horrible person. I was like, no.
But inherently.
That being said, Canadian. I'm hoping somewhere along this journey there's some reason for them to, you know, bridge that gap. And finally someone sits down around a fire and just starts a conversation.
And then they find out that they have the song the whole time.
Wouldn't that be... Wouldn't that be crazy? The Aiel that we know are the ones that happen to have the song. They just didn't know they had it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sandstorm by Darude. That's the song. Or is it Never Gonna Give You Up?
That's the Soldier's Creed. if you read through the U.S. Army's Soldier's Creed, read through it and then think about getting rickrolled. It's literally the same thing. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna let you down.
I will never leave a fallen comrade. Not gonna desert you. How about that?
Yeah. There you go. So yeah. So you'll go their own separate ways. And Perrin notices that he knows these people. He's like, hey. We've met before. I know you.
And he knows the secret handshake.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
I hope in the show, instead of him actually doing like the correct response and everything, I hope he walks up to him and starts to dap him up and then pat the shoulder and then the thumb lock and then the twist and then they clap ankles and turn around and like smack hands and like, like the super secret handshake.
Super secret handshake.
And that's when the Aiel roll their eyes and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm out of here.
I love it. He's like, doom, doom, doom. What chance of all the tinkers in the world? What chance it should be folk I know? Coincidence made him uneasy. When the pattern produces coincidence, the will seems to be forcing events. I'm beginning to sound like a bloody Aes Sedai.
As far as chance, though, there's literally only one group of tinkers we know.
Right. For all we know, this might be the last group left.
Yeah.
But so I will say, like, this sounds like the old Perrin. The one that's thinking, like, three steps ahead. Who's, you know, staying on his P's and Q's. The one that we met that we thought was a block. And then we find out that he's not. And then he becomes a brick. And now he's kind of not.
He seems to go back and forth.
Yeah, he does. So Rain's wife, Isla, comes out and she's like and greets him and says,
hey, boo.
Are you with Elias? Is Elias with you?
And this is when I throw the book.
Yep. Because Perrin was also, he's like, I don't believe a coincidence is. You know, I see these people. I've seen them before. I know these people. But I think Perrin was also more interested in running to Elias than this group of people.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Everybody's disappointed here.
If Jordan will ever bring Elias back. I think Jordan's like messing with this. Like sneaks the Tuathwan in just every now and then just to make us excited. And then he's like, nope. It's like, I gave you a little bit and I'm taking it back.
He'll show up on the last page of the scene saying, hey, what did I miss?
Giggity. Yeah, the final book, the last page. Yeah. Let's show back up like, hey guys, I'm still here.
Yeah. I mean, all things are possible here. Elias could have been taken out by Slayer. I mean, do we have anything that says we know he's alive now? Or maybe he's been injured and not quite dead yet. I don't know. All sorts of things could happen.
Maybe.
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. So after this whole entire Elias encounter, Perrin notices a lot of his men are hurt. And of course he has wounds himself, so they try to get them to tend to the wounds. They agree to do what they can, but you know, they're not the best at this. But you know, they try.
They got some herbs and mashes and you chew up this weed and spit in the wound. And a lot of times that old fashioned stuff actually works pretty good. So, but they don't have the skills for the arrow.
Yeah. And as everyone's getting healed, Perrin gets helped off this horse by Ivan because he's obviously injured. And at this point, he talks to Rain and he's like, hey, you guys probably should move to Evansfield too. We're gathering people there. It'd be safer. There's lots of Trollocs around here. We've been hunting them. And he's like, yeah, no people. It's kind of not our thing. We'll be good. Like,
I was actually a little surprised that Perrin even suggested that. Like, I think the Tinkers understood the threat that was out there even the last time they ran into them. And from what parents should know about them, like, that was going to be a hard no. So, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess
he any other thoughts?
He was trying to Tavirin them in. How come he was? So here's the thing. How come he was so easily able to Tavirin all the farmers that were like, hell no, I ain't abandoning my farm, Naga. My family been on the farm 16 generations farming this farm. And parents like, but you should go to Emmons Field. And they go, well, no, I mean, you know, you say it like that, and babe, what you think? Yeah, let's do it. Okay, yeah, let's go to Emmons Field. And they all just change their mind and go.
Yeah.
Like little to no effort. But these guys are like not even. Again, I have to jump forward a little bit because eventually when they're going to leave, he makes the offer again. And this guy's like, all right, yeah, Perrin, watch this. Hey, everybody, raise your hand if you want to go to Emmons Field. And they all, not only do they not raise their hand, but they look at him like, why would you even ask that? You might lose your job as our leader because you asked that question. That's a horrible question. So you'd think Perrin would have been a little bit smarter about that. But anyways, his Tavirin-ness did not work on them at all.
Well, maybe the pattern has other.
Yeah.
What a cheap plot you weave with that BS. This doesn't make sense. All the people that have read the series 10 times giggle. They're like, wait till book 12. He'll finally get it.
That's just the need.
So
that's why I'm wearing this.
Sure. 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 They go, he goes to Rain's, I guess, wagon, and Isla goes to look at his wounds. And while they're doing that, Ivan comes in as well, starts to discuss the battle, and Perrin feels all down that he failed. And Ivan's trying to like give him some good old coaching or, you know, talk him up like, hey, it could have happened to anybody, man. This is not your fault. You know, what happened happened. Any commander could have been ambushed like that. Don't beat yourself up. And Isla looks at the arrow, says, yep, I can't remove it. Arrow's barbed,
Stay here. And it was like, I'll try. And I mean, if you know somebody else better suited to take this out, you should probably do that. But if there's nobody else, I could try?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe?
That's a moment where it's like, you know, I could deliver this baby, but it's my first time. I'm not a doctor. We're on an elevator. Do you really want to do this? It's like, I think it'll hold out a little bit longer.
Exactly.
I've been watching the nanny, guys. Sorry.
She gives him some tea, though, for the pain, which, you know, helps, I guess, maybe.
Not some of that CBD tea.
Yes, that shit's
some of that
great.
Wacky Tibetan tea.
That's true.
That's why they're down by the two rivers. They're reloading on that two rivers wacky tobacco. This makes the best tea.
Exactly. So, any thoughts about this whole? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, obviously, we read to the next chapter, but at this point, thoughts about the arrow and
parents certainly ain't no Otzer Harquin. He surely is not Otzer Harquin at all. It would never have happened that way. Mm. Or maybe it would have. I think Perrin really gets down on himself. He's really getting in his own head. I mean, he went in with genuinely good intentions, though they were ill-focused and ill-driven. And though men have died, that was a decision that they made because he did give them the opportunity to leave. And at the end of the day, there's nothing he could have done about it.
Yeah. And Fael comes to console him as well. And Fael starts talking about his dad. He says, my father always told me a general can't mourn the dead and care for the living at the same time.
Exactly.
I think that's that was the quote.
That was the direct quote. It was a good quote.
So what do you think about Fael now? Fael talking about her father now and this light, this advice from her father.
Are we just jumping forward to who Fael is? Because Chris and I, we knew it. I want to know, is there anybody that read this and went, oh my gosh, I'm so surprised at what Fael just told us? Like,
they haven't been reading the same books we have.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was obvious almost from day one that Fael came from somebody. From some people.
This is one of the rarest of all time chapters. A chapter where people actually communicate.
Yes. Yeah. They just start opening it up. And then, well, screw it, Alan. You could throw your notes out the window. We're just going to go for this.
Sure, go for it.
So, yeah, obviously we find out who Fael is and who her father is and how she's like the cousin or niece of the queen or some relation, whatever.
Cousin.
And right when you're getting like, I'm assuming, Chris, your reaction was about the same. You're like, okay, makes sense, right?
So, then, but before that, I had a, I'm gonna stop you really quickly.
All right, hit
my favorite quote, because we haven't done this one in a while. Do you think Trollocs will go away because you decide your motives are not pure enough? The heat in her voice made him raise his head, but she pushed it back down to the pillow. Are they any less vile? Do you need a pure reason to fight them than what they are? Anything my father says, or another thing my father says, the worst sins a general could make, could commit, worse than blundering, worse than losing, worse than anything, is to desert the men who depend on him. That was the one where I was like, finally, we're going to get the truth. Like, that right there, I didn't have to read any further. I knew finally he was going to be like, I'm about to die in my own mind here. I've already killed a bunch of people. Why does your father's opinion really matter? Like, he's just a traitor. Like, not a traitor, but a tradesman.
A tradesman, yeah.
Yes.
I think that's what's nice. And to Pytho's point, like, the communication here. I've had so many questions about this relationship between Perrin and Faile, and there's so many unhealthy things that I've seen go on. But Perrin in a super tough spot. He needs more than just a little bit of encouragement from Faile. Faile realizes that the encouragement needs to come from a position of authority, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, like, okay, I'm not just reassuring you and telling you these things because I like you. I'm telling you these things. It comes from experience, not just mine, but from my father's, who actually is somebody and does have to lead people and knows a little bit about what you're going through. And so she opens up to it and is honest. And what's great is he just turns around and
Marsh General.
Shortly thereafter, he's super honest with her. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, I'm part wolf. What? Like that. He just realizes it's time to...
The way he gets to that, we have to go back a little bit, because Aram comes in and asks about Egwene, and he's just like, he makes a comment or whatever about her. She's trying to be an Aes Sedai now, and he makes a comment about following Elias and running with the wolves, and that's when Fael's like, what? Wolves? What?
This wolf thing keeps coming up, and I need to know.
Yeah.
That's what the attitude was. I need to know. Right now. And he's like, well, shit, I just scolded her, so I kind of put myself in an odd spot. Let me get on top of this as quickly as I can. It's not that I haven't been honest with you. It's that you've never really asked, so I'm technically not in the same spot you are.
But how great is this? Like, this is a very it's a big moment of vulnerability for Perrin, right? This secret that he's been trying to keep from just about everybody. He's probably terrified, like, all right, once I tell her, she's never going to talk to me. But, well, all right, Faile, I'm kind of like a wolf sometimes. Most
she's
of the time,
like, I'm a savage,
wolf.
Man.
And
savage.
She goes, a wolf, huh? Wow. Giggity.
I like savage.
And then he's like, what would your parents think? And she's like, I might have to fight my mother to keep her off of you.
You take that axe and
wolf,
you really...
Do you think he's ever going to meet her parents?
And chop it down.
I think so. So I'm interested by the comment that she says from her dad that, like, I've set my book down, but
the,
like,
blood has gotten soft.
The blood has gotten soft. So I still think there's more that Faile might be
there
holding back.
There are pills for that.
Well, there's a little bit for that. But, okay, so she doesn't freak out. She's not surprised by something that the average person would probably be like, what the fuck? Are you serious? So either she already knows that these, like, Wolf Brother people exist, or her family has a secret themselves. Maybe they're not wolves, but they have some other type animal that they commune with, whatever, right? Possibly. So it's just not surprising to her. In her mind, she's like, oh, I've never heard of the wolf thing. That's cool. But, you know, my family, we are Osprey. So I guess that's cool. And Dad was always saying we're more like canaries now. So maybe it's, you know, maybe we liven up the blood with little wolf action here. So we're gonna have Osprey wolf. That's my prediction. Osprey wolf hybrid children.
Like wolf and dragon children.
This is about turning into a paranormal romance novel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm already writing the spinoff. Series.
So what are you guys' opinion of Aram coming back into the scene? Good old Aram who danced with Egwene all night long. And
I feel like Aram's going to be that one that gets the rest of his friends killed.
Okay.
No, I think Aram leaves the Tinkers. He just doesn't seem to vibe with them.
I think he becomes like a dark friend Tinker.
I don't want to knock him like that. I think he's like the kid like that grows up in the Amish community. And he's like, fuck it. I want to play PlayStation. So I'm leaving.
He wants to play leave
the Tinker?
Yeah.
You think he's going to leave the Tinkers?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't think he could truly follow the way of the Leaf. There's,
I think he wants to discover whether or not Egwene's really becoming a Aes Sedai or not.
Any predictions on how he leaves, if he does?
I think he ends up, he seems like the type, like, if there's an attack, I feel like he might just say, fuck it, and pick up something and use it as a weapon. And then he, like, gets exiled or something like that. I don't know. I don't think in a negative Egwene's sense. I think
you're not my son anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just kind of like what we heard before in the, well, not.
What, I not think some shit goes down, and he's like, past,
whatever it was.
I know where your parent is. Let me lead you to him. I think these Tinkers about to get set up.
Yeah,
or maybe we get news that Egwene's in trouble, and
he's not. He's
and he's around when the news is shared, and people are like, "I'm gonna go save her," and then he's like, "I'm gonna come too, bro."
I'll buy you a nice juicy burger if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we got all this about Faile too. So what do you think about her motives to go hunt the horn? And, you know, she didn't want to be a noble woman anymore. It's too confining.
Feminism is a thing. My life.
What'd you say?
So feminism is a thing.
It is.
And
yeah,
then 100%. Wanting to escape responsibility is definitely, you know, especially when you're that young, you don't want all of that pressure. You don't want all of that responsibility. And when you have your own ideology behind who and what you should be, the easiest thing to do is to run away when your dad's not looking.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah. And Perrin's also nervous about all this. He's like, you know, what are you doing with the blacksmith then? Like, if you're some queen's
She's
cousin,
like, you know how to handle your axe so well.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, I can take care of the rest. You just keep working that axe.
Mm-hmm. And she tells him that she'll convince her parents to like him too. She's like, yeah, don't worry about my parents. I got them. I mean, we're good. Which, yeah. I've been
right
told.
Until her dad puts him in the lie detector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been told that before and then met my girlfriend's parents and they did not accept me at all. The lies. He's bad.
Yeah.
I'm just not comment on that. not about you and your. I'm just not going to. This is where I don't share my personal experiences. I have learned. I have learned, though, it is very important to, when you're meeting a significant other, you need to get to know their family and where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do your research. Yeah. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Yeah, my first real girlfriend in high school, her parents forbade her from seeing me anymore. That's how we broke up. Because we tried to sneak around for a while, but then it just was really tough in high school to do that. But, yeah. That's because I hung out with Ian, and it was a bad influence on me.
It sounds like he's saying that to like, you know, make jokes and poke fun at me, but that's probably 100% true. That is not a lie.
I did not have that experience. I was with my first for 9.5 years.
I think what it was actually, I think we went over to Ian's house one time and we got drunk over there because this was in high school. And I took her home and her parents were waiting up for her. And she came home plastered. And her parents are like, nope, you're not seeing him anymore.
Yeah, that's always the best way to take him home.
And then when they called my parents, my mom was like, yeah, but did she die? What the fuck are you calling me for? Sounds like they had a good time.
maybe next time I'll join them.
Right. Yeah, I think actually it was funny because her mom actually ended up calling me and said, the only way you can see my daughter again is if you tell your mother that you got my daughter drunk and have her write a letter to me. Confirm. I was like, no. What?
Lady,
who are you?
Let your child grow up. This is really weird.
This is really strange, and it's not going to happen.
Yep.
If this is true love, he'll get the letter written. There are plenty of fish in the sea, and I know how to fish.
She gets a letter in the mail written in crayon and Alan's chicken scratch handwriting. It's like,
This is going to be a doctor. You can marry him.
I love them despite their faults. Yes, they should still date. P.S. Serve them beer at your house. Love, Alan's mom.
How'd you know?
Oh, Lord. That would be hilarious, though.
Actually, I did try to forge a single note. It wasn't crown, but I did. I did try to write a note, and
that's perfect.
I didn't end up giving it to. I didn't end up taking it to her mom because I just said, you know what, this is not worth it. I moved on.
That mac and cheese in the pot won't that great?
Uh huh.
Anyway, what were we doing again? What was the name of the book?
That's the first reaction I got from Python. He didn't smile. He just shook his head. No, he went. No,
he's like middle schoolers.
Like Alan, edit that out, please.
Please. So while she's talking, she convinces Perrin to drink the tea, and Perrin falls asleep immediately, and that's how we end this chapter. It's him going night night.
She drugged him. So, can we talk about him. Like?
He was like, gotta get the doodle the pudding in the jello and the pudding snacks.
You know, rape culture. You know, like this is this shit right here. I put the book down after that too. I was like, now here we are with rape culture being a really big issue, and what does she do? She forces the drugs down his throat.
No means no.
You can't do nothing about it.
Yeah. Consent is important.
It is.
Yeah. I'm going to try and keep that as a running theme. Like, well, not just as we comment on these books, but just in life.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I throw that line out to my 5-year-old on stuff. Like, consent is important.
Yeah.
Did you have your brother's permission to do that? Did you have your sister's permission to do it? You just didn't.
I'm like, the minute you put that ring on your finger, you consented to all of this.
You can't touch somebody else's liberties without consent.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the opposite, not drugging someone without their knowledge, but giving someone not drugs when they think they're taking drugs.
Oh, that bag of oregano that we made $20 on, fill the gas tank.
There's a guy in college. There's a guy in college who's like, hey, have you ever had acid before?
I thought you said there's a gynecologist. I was like, wait, you're going to a gynecologist to get drugs, bro? How did you even
write scripts? They can write scripts, man.
They can get into the country a lot easier.
Sir, I don't think you want to make an appointment at our office. Be like, oh, no, I want an appointment with this doctor. Yes, just I know where I'm at. Don't judge me.
We gave a guy in college, a Jolly Rancher and told him that, you know... He was just an annoying kid that comes in a bucket house. We're like, here's like Jolly Rancher. It's drugs, dude. He's like, okay.
No, do you remember we were coming back from somewhere and Dave was there and I was drunk and I was like, I want to try shrooms. And he starts handing me stuff. He's like, I brought some with me. Here, try these. And I'm like, nothing's happening. So he keeps feeding me more. Turns out he was just pulling foam out of the chair we were sitting in and handed me chunks of foam, and I ate like 20 pieces of foam going, it's not working, I'm not feeling it. He's like, well, some people you have to take a lot. I mean, you might have a resistance built up. And I'm like, give me some more chunks, Alan. The next day I look at it, and there's like a like softball-sized chunk of foam missing. And he's like, you ate all of that thinking you're having shrooms.
The only time I've ever been legitimately high, my dealer was an army surgeon.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right.
Sounds right.
Yeah, I was actually a Boy Scout. Yes,
there you go.
I didn't get up to any of the stuff you guys did, but I was staff at the National Boy Scout Jamboree, which is at Fort AP Hill.
Yeah,
or at least was back then. This is in the '90s, and I got a migraine a couple days before camp was supposed to open. And because we were on the Army base, all of the med tents were staffed by Army medics. And so I went to him and he gave me 2 pills and said, if I'm still feeling bad in the morning, come back for some more. He gave me 2 Vicodin and I took them without eating anything.
Oh, Lordy.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
I do not remember any of the next 6 hours. But apparently after that, I passed out, and they couldn't wake me for 24.
Shit.
That also sounds right. Yeah. And anyway, about how old were you?
I was 19 at the time.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Take 2 of these and call me in the morning.
So chat's really, really interested now. So after eating all this foam, what did the poop look like the next day?
It was... Let me tell you. So that was an immediate fear. That's the only reason I was mad at him. It's not because I ate foam. I was like, how is this going to turn out, right? Like,
is it going to turn out?
So I think it actually cleaned me out really good because I drank a ton of water to kind of help work it down. And it, I don't, it just, you know. I mean, eventually a day later, it was there. and I felt rather clean. Good scraping.
Scrub.
It's
scrub.
A good scrub, man. Scrub. Some scrubbing bubbles. Yeah. Yeah.
Some colon blow, you know, this extra strength. Was it B-Pong that had the colon blow that he used to talk about?
This is great.
He went on for like an hour. He went on for like an hour long rant about some stuff he took or whatever. He's like, you know that stick that's been sitting in your colon for like 30 years? Like, it works it out. Like, what? What's wrong with your colon, man? Like, I don't have the same problems with you. Like,
and what kind of leathery steak are you eating that it parks itself in your intestines for 30 years? There's a little steak inside there. I'm not leaving. Like, arms crossed. I'm not coming in here.
Not doing it. So yeah, so that's how we end this chapter of Perrin going night-night. So any final thoughts about all this? I mean, obviously we finally get the big reveal that everyone already knew, that Fael was a noblewoman.
Big surprise.
Big surprise. Aram is still a punk.
Little punk bitch.
Big surprise. And the Tinkers still don't believe that they're in any danger.
Do they though? They know they're
in danger. I think they know they're in danger, but they still aren't willing to fight. They're still not willing to fight.
You know, we just like our lives. We like to just kind of meander. Nobody's going to really mess with us. We'll go hide in the woods. They do a really good job of it. They're still alive, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got gel, like you it. Got gel and the pudding snacks. The gel and the pudding.
Yep.
Fael's messed up.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. So any final thoughts? Anything?
No.
All right. Anything from you, Pythos?
Not right now.
Okay, cool. All right, moving on to chapter 42, A Missing Leaf. And we got the wolf, as an icon. And we start right up with Perrin in the Tinker Camp, and he knows right away, he's like, yep, this is the dream. I'm in the wolf dream. And we're going to have fun with it, because now I know what to do. Kind of, sort of, not really, but I'm going to act like I do. And we're going to make shit go crazy. So he goes ahead and sprints all his way all over Two Rivers. So let's start there.
Let's start here. So it doesn't happen anymore because I rarely sleep long enough to actually dream. But agreed. I do remember back in the day when I did, every now and then you knew something happened where it clicked and you knew you were dreaming. But then once you realized you were dreaming, like at least for me, I only had a short amount of time to act on it. Because it's like once I realized I was dreaming, I would wake up very shortly thereafter. But I've been in dreams where I knew I was dreaming. I was like, shit, I'm dreaming. I could jump over a building. I can fly. And like I had in my I would have these tests. I'd be like, okay, I know I can only jump this high. If I could jump higher than that, all of a sudden I know I'm dreaming. And then I jump and I'm like clearing a fucking tree. And I'm like, well, this is a dream. And then you get to go ham on it because, you know, if you can control it, it can be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I've ever had like, any lucid dreams, are fine. I do not remember it at all.
Oh, I do.
I've
had out of body experiences. That's always fun. That's actually freaky.
Those are scary. Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Those are scary as shit. Yeah. I had one. I guess it was in college. Like I woke up. I thought I woke up. Went to my dresser to start getting like stuff ready to take a shower. And I looked back in the bed, and my body's still inside the bed. I'm like. Shit.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Look, it's man. That or the moment
from the outside. It was weird.
Or the moment dream. Where you like wake up but nothing moves.
Oh yeah.
Incubus attacks?
Yeah, the incubus attacks, like your body's smothered.
Yes.
And when you can't breathe and the adrenaline's pumping but you can't do anything with it, it's like borderline heart attack status.
Yeah.
Dreams are weird, man.
Yeah.
I don't have dreams that much. But that's
what if dreams are real and this is the dream?
I was just about to say.
Yeah. What if when we think we're dreaming, that's when we're in the.
There is a new Matrix coming out, by the way.
Did you ever get there paranoid in high school when you like you had to take a leak, so you went in the bathroom and you were peeing, and you were like, all right, what if I'm like crazy right now and I'm not actually in the bathroom peeing and I'm just whipping it out in the middle of the class and peeing all over the place? What if you ever freak out about that?
Yeah.
Is that just me?
No.
Yeah,
Perrin realizes he's dreaming, and instead of being like, I could jump over buildings, like I could fly, he's like, all right, let me do some investigative work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this isn't his first time either.
Yeah, it's not his first time.
Loyal finally moved in my new house. Loyal, you up? Yeah, no, come here. Well, you can say it from there. They can hear you. Let me turn the mic. We're talking about Perrin. What's his special power?
I thought you knew this. He's Tavirin.
Thanks, Loyal.
Tavirin.
All right. Well, he's not coming down the stairs. He's going back to bed. But yeah.
Okay. Cool. But yeah. So he goes down the Devon Ride, which is south of Emmonsfield, and finds mainly abandoned farms. Few signs of habitation here and there. Some have been burnt. Been attacked. And then Perrin decides that, Perrin spots a group of ravens up in the Mountains of Mist. So he's like, yeah, that looks sus. So let's go check that out.
You are correct. That happened.
This is one of those, chapters, I'm going to be honest with you, where I'm excited for it to happen, but then I'm disappointed at the same time.
We didn't get closure.
No, none at all. So, you follow the ravens. Great. It's like, into the thick of it.
All right, let's shorten up the chapter real quick.
Oh.
Perrin got introduced to a character that we already knew exists. So all that happened is we, the reader, we now know that Perrin knows that he knows that Perrin knows that they both know that each other is there, but we already fucking knew that. So it's like Perrin meet Slayer, Slayer meet Perrin. Okay. Like that's the chapter.
We're tramping through the bush. Mm-hmm. On and on we push.
But before he sees Slayer, he does go to the Waygate and discover something very, very discerning.
Yeah, that's the big info we get from the chapter.
Yeah.
Walking towards the Waygate just the other day, baby. What do you think I saw?
One leaf.
Said, hey, boy. Hey, boy, do you want to close the Waygate?
Here's my question.
You know how it is.
How did the leaf get back from the other side?
Adele.
Hello from the other side. And I was really, really, really out of my mind. Yeah.
Hello from the outside.
Hello from the other side. Yeah, so there's a leaf
missing. I assume that was the one thing that got me. I was like, Loyal, definitely took care of the situation.
He did. But now it's open, which means that there are Trollocs pouring into the two rivers at this point.
Pouring.
And it kind of, the way...
With all the pudding snacks.
We're skipping around. So, we have our good old, guy friend there who... Slayer, if you want to call him that. Slayer. And he's like...
Fuck yeah, Slayer! You gotta say it right, man.
Slayer. We get Perrin. Perrin goes and he's like, oh shit! Is this happening in the real world? Is this? I think it's. And then out of nowhere, a big black thing. I mean, a black arrow comes his way.
Meow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I see what you did there.
1.5 giggities. You kind of forced it, but,
right to the backside.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yep. Now we're at 2. That's a solid 2 giggities, bro. 2,
yeah.
Continue.
But he dodges
it. Yes, dodges the arrows and decides to go into do some crazy scouting where he, jumps all around and goes to different vantage points.
It's funny how hard... it is for Egwene to master this realm, but then he's just naturally, all right, I got this. Is this because he's a male and he's doing it, or is it because he's Tavirin?
Or because he's a wolf. Because he's hungry. Hungry like a wolf.
Is he hungry, though? He got to eat all of that vegetable st- do porridge shake liquefied.
Yeah. I think he's hungry like a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do know the wolf dream.
Yeah, the wolves hang out there. The wolves are really good at the dream world. So I think Perrin gets some of that from that.
Even dead wolves are like, fuck it, chilling in the dream world.
Yeah, Hopper's there. He's like, dude, this is where we hang.
Yeah. So. But his control of it's really, really, really good. So, but anyway, the arrow comes. He goes chasing after said arrow. And then he actually like looks like the Perrin of old. It's like, I'm screwing up again. I'm going the way the person wants me to go. Let me switch things up a little bit. And he actually catches the Slayer off guard.
And off guard, he gets the motherfucking high ground, bro.
Yeah.
The high ground.
He gets the drop on
him. I have the high ground, Anakin. Don't do it. I have the high ground.
And he hesitates.
Because he ain't a killer. His name is Perrin.
That's Perrin Goldeneyes.
His name isn't Slayer. If his name was Slayer, he'd have been like, high ground, die.
That's why he initially came with the hammer and not the axe. His true nature still comes out in the beginning. Even though he asked for the axe this go around, he came back with the hammer and his apron. You know.
He needs to realize what he's up against.
Yeah.
If you go down in the streets today, baby, you better open your eyes. Yeah, yeah.
It's about to go down.
So I'm packing my bags for the Misty Mountains.
Okay. So
whoa. Over the hills where the spirits lie.
Pythos is like, what did I get myself into?
Literally, right? Are they in the Misty Mountains during this scene?
They're doing it. Yeah. That's why this is sponsored by Led Zeppelin.
That'd be cool if we got Led Zeppelin as a sponsor. Hey, Led Zeppelin, if you listen to us.
Come on by.
That would be crazy if you actually get a response.
Robert Plant slides into my DMs tomorrow.
Well, now Alan's lucid dreaming. He's like, me and Robert Plant hung out. It was so cool.
It's like, what really were the ones we were talking about earlier, Alan? Anyway, so, you know, he gets the high ground and then right away loses it. And then you're right, Slayer realizes this is a game of cat and mouse now. Slayer's just chatting away, just giving him all this information, feeding him. He's like, hey, I see you saw I brought the leaf back. You want to know how I did it? Oh, yeah, guess what? There's hundreds of thousands of Trollocs around here now. You know, the dark matter got a lot to eat, but we let that many more out, so...
And Slayer's got to know, if he doesn't know exactly who Perrin is, he has a sense of Perrin's capabilities, because Slayer has just been walking around plunking wolves and has had a high success rate, because all the wolves in this area are fucking dead. That's why Hopper's like, no, bro, no.
Eyes are.
But the fact that Perrin is able to navigate around, get some sort of advantage, has dodged his arrows, Slayer's like, okay, cool, yeah, good for you.
We don't know what color Slayer's eyes are.
But we do know he looks Malkirin?
Yeah, Malkiri.
Malkiri?
Doesn't have gold eyes.
And then, then foreshadowing, right? Perrin goes... But can't be Malkir because Lan's the last one. Even though he looks exactly like Lan, but not Lan. He could be Lan's brother, but he can't be Lan's the last one. So, obviously, Lan's not the only one. At the very least, there is one that exists in the dreamscape. And it could be Forsaken. It could be Bad Guy. It could be some sort of effed up twist on a relative of Lan's. It could be Lan's dad, Lan's brother, Lan's cousin, something like that, that somehow got stuck here because some Forsaken, like, I don't know, tapped him with his Harry Potter wand and effed him over. And maybe the Slayer guy ends up being a good guy eventually when we break the curse. Because I can't think... So if he is Malkirian, how do you say that? Malkirian? Malkirier, like a hamburger. If he is Malkiri, knowing what their mission was for so long, I find it hard to believe that unless they got invited to the Dark Friend social and compelled to do shitty things. Like, I find it hard to believe mm-hmm. that any one of them would willingly choose this path.
Agreed.
So,
okay.
Is it some sort of curse? Is it some sort of, well, I don't know. I guess curse was the best word.
I think
that
right.
we can break, and then Slayer ends up being a good person. Maybe. But right now, you got Dodge's arrows.
Is this the first time there's actually a conversation with him that he's shown up so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that means there's more to come, right, Pythos?
Oh, yeah, Pythos, what do you think? Describe Slayer and who he becomes.
You think this is going to be
you
the
said
one?
The first time.
Okay,
so
I'll tell you who he is. Obviously Elvis.
Oh!
I like it.
Dude.
I've been to Tupelo.
Give away. Don't
I got
give
a lot
away
of
the secrets. Anyway, yeah, so Elvis is hanging out, doing his little hip motions and saying.
That he got from Forrest Gump, by the way. Give credit where credit's due.
Yes. And Perrin's like, I'm in danger. I got to wake up. And he tries to.
I'm in danger.
I'm in danger. So he tries to wake up and steps out of the wolf dream and right into another dream with Fael.
And you know why he couldn't wake up?
Because he was drugged.
They asked us to stay for tea and have some fun. Whoa. She said that Slayer was going to stop by. Down, 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 down,
down, down, down, down. Yep. So, yeah, goes into that dream just for a little brief bit before we wake up for real. So, for real.
Pharrell?
So,
I haven't met Pharrell, but I've been to one of Pharrell's properties.
Yeah.
In a party. And Missy was there, but I didn't make contact with her.
Oh. You missed
but that was the night I met Michael Vick.
Vick's cool.
It's a good party.
Yeah. I've met Michael once, and I've met Irison twice. They're all from our neck of the woods.
Round here.
I caught Rasheed Wallace cutting in line at a movie theater and told him to get his ass to the back of the line.
I bumped into Paris Hilton once, actually, literally ran into Paris Hilton. Like
her security stumbled. Almost took you out.
Yes.
Like they got.
I was in Vegas and I was drunk walking out of a casino and she was walking in and literally like
we
stumbled
bumped.
Into her.
Yep.
Yeah.
I took my older two to Pat's and Gino's.
She turned around and goes, that's hot.
she didn't. She rolled her eyes and kept moving.
She never. No, she didn't. She didn't at all.
I took my older two to Pat's and Gino's in Philly because we were going to settle the debate, which one's better. And they're both fantastic, by the way. And I forget which one it was. It was the second one we did. I think we did Pat's first. We're going to Gino's second. And there was this guy like looking really sketchy with a hoodie on and like big sunglasses in front of us. And I'm like, man, this druggie's coming up here trying to get his fix on a Philly cheesesteak. And when he goes to order, it's fucking Ray Romano. And when he starts to talk, you know who it is. So he starts to order, and everybody behind the counter is like, oh, my gosh. And they actually invite him inside and da-da-da. And I was like, well, I was just standing in line with Ray Romano for 30 minutes to get a Philly cheesesteak, and he didn't even say hi. So messed up. But, yeah, no, he was a cool guy. Anyways.
I played blackjack table with Michael Phelps one time in Lake City. I was in Atlantic City, and he was at the blackjack table with me. I didn't recognize him because it's out of he wasn't in a Speedo, so...
Unless you can see the washboard abs, you don't really recognize him.
Yeah, it was just like some dude like at the table with me, and then I was like, he looks familiar, though. And then it wasn't until actually someone else recognized him, and then he immediately got up and left because he didn't want to be recognized. And I was like, oh... I was playing blackjack with Michael Phelps. That's kind of cool.
Oh yeah? I got you beat. This is the last one up. This is the last one up.
All right, just do one up.
So I'm in the Udari Desert, Camp Buring, right? And I come out the DFAT, and I'm an E4 nobody, and I'm smoking a cigarette. And smoking a cigarette when it's 120 degrees outside, it just hits different. Your whole body's on fire. And I'm done with it, and I flick that butt. And behind me, somebody goes, "Hey, hero, that look like an ashtray to you?" And I turn around and I didn't look at who said it. I just turned around and I said, "This whole fucking place looks like a giant ashtray." And I turn around and it was a command sergeant major. Not mine, but any of y'all been in the military, once you see that CSM patch, you're like, well, I done did fucked up. So, yeah, I forget what his name actually was. I just know that I was giving a kitty litter scooper, and I was told to clean up as many cigarette butts as I could for the next week, and I picked up millions. I filled lawn and leaf bags, multiple lawn and leaf bags of cigarette butts in the next week and a half.
It's like stomping on some big dude's Adidas jacket.
Thinking it's your best friend's, but it's not.
Think it's your best, yeah.
It's your best the biggest jacket. Bully in the high school. Yeah. And then you turn around and make eye contact with that bully.
It's like the size of Chris. He's like 6'5", 300 pounds, all muscle. I'm sitting there tap dancing on his Adidas jacket, look over, and I thought it was Brian's, and I look at Brian's wearing his Adidas jacket. I was like,
so you're still tap dancing, but it slows down. You're like tap, tap, tap,
tap, tap, tap,
tap,
tap.
Wait a
minute. Well, I kidnapped Brian's from the airport and threw him in the back of the van, forced him to tell me the ending of Wheel of Time.
Dude.
Oh, there you go.
And he's seen all the notes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's why you're
not kidding
up.
About that either.
I believe it.
Wait, what?
Oh, wow.
Repeat.
Cheaters are fast, anyway, bro. He had no chance of getting away.
Anyway, so he wakes up. Perrin wakes up.
Who's Perrin? What are we talking about?
Perrin wakes up, and he wants to go to the Waygate to close it permanently. But the arrow is still there, so that's kind of keeping him down. Fael's still with him.
Yeah,
because the drugs.
Fael's like, nope, we're not doing that. If you can't play ball with me, I'll just drug you again.
Thanks, Fayou. Yep. Thanks.
And interestingly, Perrin goes outside to talk to Ivan about it, and he's like, so what? Which
that did throw me for a loop a little bit. I was like, so as a warder, you don't care about the fact that there are hundreds of your enemy pouring through a gate that you could go close.
Was it
yourself.
Hundreds or thousands?
Well, hundreds to thousands.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was an exaggeration in there. You know, we don't know enough about Slayer to know
let's think about this for a second. Let's say he is telling the truth, and there's thousands of Trollocs now coming into the into rivers. What are the chances of them getting out of this thing if there's thousands of Trollocs?
Jesus, hold on.
Hey, yeah. Now I know. I said you were done. I need you again.
Oh, he's coming. He moves slow. It's a tight stairwell.
Hey, are they going to survive?
Now he says yes.
Yeah, but why? Yeah. What? No, come here. They need to hear you say it.
can you hear me? Can you? So
yeah,
Perrin is Tavirin.
Yeah. Thanks, Loyal. I know.
We miss you, Loyal. It's been a few episodes.
I know. Yeah, they don't get it. Alan keeps asking these dumb questions. Okay. Yeah.
He says, "Stop with the dumb questions, Alan."
Yeah.
They're going
to
survive.
This is when, like, the hidden people in the mountains finally come to the aid.
There you go.
I'm not giving up
he
on
He said that his friends would all stop by. Hi.
Sorry. Yeah, and Perrin goes to talk to the rest of the Two Rivers men, too, and they're like, dude, you missed out, man. Like, the women here, they do this dance. He's like, yeah, I've seen the dance. I've seen it.
Fahil's like, oh, have you? And did you like said dance?
Did you like the
dance?
Yeah. You
see my dance.
So
I want to see this dance.
They saw Drop It Like It's Hot, and then Fael's like, yeah, but I know Eiffel Tower. And everybody goes, oh, shit. Ooh. I know Eiffel Tower. Stop talking about it. That's some kinky shit. and if you don't know, come to the Dark Friend Social, and you will learn Drop It Like It's Hot and the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm. And the bin and the snap. And the bin and snap.
Right, yeah. Mm. That's kind of it's a version of Drop It Like It's Hot, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll even put on Pizza Maker.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow, man. Pulling the big moves. I got to get that together. Yeah. So we are having an event. Mid episode announcement.
Hey!
Next August. Yeah. So if you listen this far, this shit show, you can hear. You get to hear all about an event coming up. Not for a while. It's going to be next August, 2022. First weekend of August. We are hosting the Dark Friend Social. It will be a live in-person event. limited tickets. Tickets will go on sale at some point when I get my act together and create something for it. So they'll be available to our patrons first, and it might get sold out there. So anyone listening to this now, if you're not a patron, you might want to become a patron, because otherwise you might not even come.
Considering the body count we're allowing, I mean the head count we're allowing, it's probably going to get bought out by patrons. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is. But yeah, that'll be fun. We're going to drink a lot and eat a lot and
make s'mores.
And bin snap a lot. It's going to be fun.
And make pizzas.
And make pizzas.
And macaroni and cheese.
So, yeah. And watch and watch the TV show on repeat, if it's good, on repeat. For like,
who are we
a whole
kidding? We're
going
to watch it on repeat, whether it's good or not. You know.
Yeah. We are.
Either we're accepting it or we're judging it, but it will be on. Yeah.
It will be on. It'll be on the entire time. So, back to the story. So after the whole dance thing, they get ready to leave. Perrin tries to convince Rain to move his people once more to Evans Field. We've already alluded to this. And do the show of hands. Yep, nope.
Nah, bro.
Nope, not going to happen.
It's even worse because he calls him. He like puts the fear of Perrin in everybody. Perrin wants you all to give up your way of life and go to the city. No!
Nope.
That was what I saw.
Yeah. And so they head back for Evans Field, and the Aiel join them as soon as they leave. They're like, oh, yep, you leave the Tinkers. We are back with you. And first thing Perrin says is like, hey, did you play Maiden's Kiss? How was it? Did you do good? Did you do good?
Five out of five giggities. The answer is no.
And Gaul's like, shut up.
No, he doesn't just say shut up. He's like, girls are so messed up, and girls like, they're all like tricksters in the girly girls, and
cooties.
Girls got cooties. Yeah, exactly. That's the vibe I got. He's got cooties. Can't trust him. Girls. Yeah, but I played. Yeah.
I played Maiden's Kiss.
Didn't even give me a safe word.
Yeah.
Fucking spear to the throat. It's messed up.
Yep.
Pythos.
Yep.
Which Aiel female or male or let me. Yes. Which Aiel at this point would you play Maiden's Kiss with?
I can't answer that.
That's there you go. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Fair enough. So yeah, they get back to.
Well, I can't answer
Evans
that.
Field,
I just can't answer
and...
that. You don't know the character yet. But
oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay. He's hooked on where we're going to run into. I like it.
Yeah.
Now I have hope.
Yeah. So they get back to Evans Field. And they're amazed by all the changes that have happened. There's like a ton of people here. I mean, the force has been cut down and pushed back for Bowshot to make it easier to defend themselves. They've even started started building catapults and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a full on like military operation going on. So, what do you think about all this? Like
this is exciting for me. This is the only, out of the whole three chapters, this is the point where I was like, well, damn, I am proud of you. Like, the fact that you cleared out trees 500 feet so that you have longbow shot, the fact that you set up barricades, the fact that you use the trees that you cut down means you're being green.
Thank Lukey
Poo. I love it. Like, the last time we had archers on the lookout, like, people kind of just snuck by them, and now you have people that are like, you know, the hoo-hoo and ski-oo, you know, the calls are going across. If you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. Welcome to the culture. But anyway, you have like all these different calls being going out, and you know, all of a sudden you see people that look like they know what they're doing, and the statement's and like, all, huh, guess the blood's not all gone after all.
And they're all whispering, oh, look, it's Perrin Golden Eyes. It's Perrin. It's Perrin. Oh, shit, it's Perrin.
Now and then... And then jerky old man Sim Bowie trying to get on the bandwagon. That's where Perrin's biggest eye roll. I like that Perrin's biggest eye roll and sigh came with Sim Bowie being like, look, little boy, it's Perrin. We're saved. And Perrin's like, you know what? Bleep you, man. Bleep you. You almost ruined all of this.
And on top of it, on top of everything, is there's a new banner in the middle of the green with a red wolf's head flapping in the wind.
He who comes with the other dawn.
I'm for it. And then we have a little political conversation about Queen ain't gonna like it. And then parent like people here don't even know we have a queen. And I'm like, well, queens don't seem to care. And then blah 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 blah. And I just okay, just put the banner up.
And then when the queen finds out in 4 years, then
exactly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, and then Fael's like, then my boy eventually they're going to want taxes. And if Perrin's the libertarian that I think he is, he's going to be like, come on with your tax collectors. I got an axe and a hammer.
Yep.
Bring it.
I took care of that.
But I mean, won't
don't snap, Rand, don't like, step on Snakey.
Her daughter and then just be like, hey, those are my people. Just don't worry
about
what
do you think? What do you think about the Aes Sedai being behind it? Like, I mean, because they even asked in Varen's like, well, the group needed a symbol, so... this is what we did. And Perrin's like, okay. And Fael's like, yeah, the queen's not going to like this. And of course, we already alluded to that. So what do you think about Varen being involved with all of it?
You know, being it's in the mix. Funny. I think Varen wants to put her spin on history and wants to see things play out the way she feels they should. And if he's got more power and, you know, he's kind of relying on her, then she's got more power. So
do you know who I compare Varen with? Loyal.
You said this.
I feel like
you shipped them before.
Did I?
Yeah, you said they're gonna be a couple.
Oh, they should be. this is the problem with drinking during episodes. Like so there's two characters now. If they turn out to be evil or bad, or if they get killed or whatever, that I'd be pretty upset with, and it's Varen and Loyal. And if Varen somehow turns out to be Black Aja, I mean, anything's possible at this point, or somehow like a threat to our party, like that's gonna catch me in the feels a little bit. I get the vibe that she's a Brown, the way Jordan has made me think about Brown so far. She just normally she's reading from a book about all this stuff, and she's just giddy that she's watching it unfold in front of her.
Yeah.
I don't see anything nefarious about it, but I mean, you know,
yeah, got a lot of bucks, so I could be wrong. She's the brownest brown to ever brown.
She's so browning. Yeah. She's browning the shit out of it. And she's like, oh my gosh, guys, like what's happening right now is super significant. And I'm not reading it in a book. I'm like watching it happen. Very happy. And then I feel like Loyal overhears it and goes, we should write about this. And she goes, yes, we should write our own book. Yeah.
So she reminds me actually of someone I used to work for. So I used to work for a tutoring agency, and the owner of the tutoring company was as brown could be, because that's what she did. But like, was the type that would go on so many tangents. I would go to work, and like, my job was to one, tutor kids, but then two, also do marketing for her and all this other stuff. And I'd have a whole entire list of things I wanted to do during the day, and I'd show up and like start working, and like within 5 minutes she'd come in like, hey, check this thing I found out online, like. And pull something out like, we're going to talk about this for the next 3 hours. I'm going to pay you to sit here and listen to me talk about volcanoes for the next 3 hours. I'm like, I feel like I'm robbing you right now.
She's
like,
thinking volcanoes and it's worth the investment. You're thinking 15 an hour.
Or,
I could shut my mouth and pretend to stay awake.
Like Chris.
She goes on and on about volcanoes for like literally 3 hours. I'm like, you know, you're paying me to sit here and listen to you talk about volcanoes. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I feel bad. So yeah, that's who Varen reminds me of. And if we ever get the chance to meet her, any of you guys, you'd 100%.
Yeah,
it's Varen. Yeah. And then Varen looks at Perrin's wound, says that's beyond my talent of healing. Sends for Alana and Daze Conger, the new wisdom, to take care of the wound, and that's how we end this chapter.
She's lucky she didn't kill Perrin, though, because she's not a healer, but she still she fingered it. And let me tell you something. Mm. Let me ask a question, okay? Pop quiz. Pythos, who killed Abraham Lincoln?
Probably the doctors.
Dang it. Chris, who killed Abraham Lincoln?
Well...
You were not supposed to say the doctors, Pythos, but you're right. The doctors killed Lincoln. When the doctors got to Lincoln,
well,
he was still very
guy
much
who's
alive.
The former nationally ranked trivia player.
There you go. So he gets shot in the head, but he's still alive. But I mean, obviously, like in a coma, he was probably going to die anyways. Let's be honest. But the doctor was like, "I got to do something." He pulled the Tinker move. He was like, "Anybody else more experienced than me with retrieving bullets from the head? No, no. Okay, well then I'm gonna try. We gotta try something. And he stuck his finger in his head to try and retrieve the bullet, and that's ultimately what actually killed him. So, yeah. Just so you know.
That was very interesting.
That's what, yeah, that's what surgeons do. My brother's a surgeon. He's been on our podcast. He's like, that's what they do. Like, it's like, well, we lost another one.
So, like, okay, in the day-to-day, what your brother does, they're not winging it. They're going by science and tried and true. But in the emergency surgeries, sometimes you got to wing it a little bit. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has a pretty dark sense of humor. A lot of people have died in surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, he did trauma surgery during residency.
Oh yeah.
A lot. And a lot of people were already, they weren't dead, but they were dead.
They were heading
like,
that direction.
That made sense. Like, yeah, they still have to try.
Yeah.
But
Varen here, knowing she's not a healer, what did she do? She fucking stuck her finger in it. She went, oh, this is neat. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobble. Oh, got a little infection there, Bobble.
There's one fantasy character I would trust to do surgery on me, and he is not in this series.
Yeah.
Does it start with a K?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He's in Brandon Sanderson books.
Ayo. Varen was just curious about his wound, and she fingered it. She had no intention, because she knew she couldn't, to heal it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
and we find out. So it's the arrow. Was it between in the metacostal space between a rib, or was it embedded in a rib? I'd have to open
it back. In a rib, but I may be misremembering.
I was thinking in a rib. So in a rib is very bad. Like a small fracture to a rib, okay, kind of bad. Breathing sucks, sneezing sucks. But like, if it's open to the point where like marrow's exposed, I mean, that's one of the fastest ways to get some like horrible septic infection. Yeah, and just fall over and die. So she's fingering, playing around with this, knowing she can't heal it. She's finger. Let me stick my finger in Lincoln's head in the hole. Yeah. See what I can find.
Yep.
Risky.
Bad stuff. Yeah. Risky stuff. Anything we missed from these chapters? I mean, that's how we come to the end. So.
No, I think we covered it pretty thoroughly.
Okay.
Do you, Chris? Cool. I feel like Alan tried to get us to talk about this third chapter, and I derailed every step I could.
It was beautiful.
Because I won't say I got nothing out of it, but like, the major themes of this third chapter were...
Quite literally, the only thought I had was, where did the leaf come from? That was it.
Right. Yeah. Which we don't know. Yeah. Do you have any speculations?
Like, well, I mean, my thought was, in the dream, did he, like, go all the way to where the leaves were, left, and bring one back to use it to open it? And then did that, like... do something in the physical world, since we know what happens in the dream world can come through to the physical? Or is there somebody else that he's colluding with? And if so, who is he in collusion with? Is it Lanfear?
Talking about wifey.
I'm attacking Lanfear tonight. She's just, I want her to come back.
Yeah. You're gonna get Ian all upset if you talk about Lanfear that way.
No, nope. Lanfear is so hot. She could be like this horrendous criminal, and I'd be like, "That's my boo.
That's my boo."
Could be.
I just want to do hood rat shit with my hood rat girlfriend.
Between her and Elias, like we're missing two very vital people right now. I need them both to come back. Yeah. And the end of this book is right around the corner. So,
just around the river bend.
Yeah. So, yeah, favorite characters.
Pythos, what you got?
Mm-hmm. Perrin.
Yeah, Perrin. That's an easy one.
Officer, he's one of my favorite characters in the whole series.
Well, you and Chris going to get along.
Yeah. I won't pick him this time just because of that. My favorite character will be the single leaf.
The single leaf?
The single leaf.
Inanimate objects.
That single leaf allowed thousands of Trolloc to come through and bring forth the Manethrin spirit, because there's about to be a big battle at the end of this book. Well, that's a prediction.
speed of leaves, my favorite character is Robert Plant, at least Ian's rendition. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. What do you think I saw? All right, so Pythos, you hinted at this earlier. Right off in the beginning, first book, Trollocs come in. Lan, who's an experienced fighter, gets diced up as he's trying to defend a handful of Trollocs. And then we see what Trollocs do, and then we find a fade, and fades are effing our characters up. And then now here we are, where all we have really is Perrin, and then a warder steps in at the end. So Perrin and a warder. And then a bunch of these Edmunds Fielder young bucks with bows.
And Aiel.
And a couple of Aiel. And they're standing toe-to-toe, and they're fighting. So I have to give credit where credit's due, and I give it to all the parents' people that were following them. I give it to all the young Edmund Fielder boys that were out there with their bows and their whatever the fuck else they took with them. I'm assuming maybe there's some swords.
Torches,
whatever. The ones that survived, the fact that they hung in there, they were fighting a losing battle.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
And the fact that he gave them an out to bail after that and they all stayed.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. That also. They realized the threat, and they were like, nope, we're sticking with it. And we didn't even mention the one guy that was like, by the way, I saw my friend, and his head was up in a tree, but, like, the rest of his body wasn't. And I guess he's not too worried about that cold that he had. Achoo. Yeah. And then he sneezes. That was just a really quick, twisted scene.
Didn't they also see someone in the cook pot?
Yeah.
No.
Unless, so we haven't gone back to this in a while, but Jordan... Obviously, military experience, and we've talked about the list of awards he's had, and we're assuming there was combat experience. And
there was.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting that he sprinkled that in there very quickly and then left it. And I feel like, I don't know, our readers, if you're younger or, now we're older, and I've talked to some other readers that are veterans and some that have been to war, or even those that are students of it and just read about it. That might just hit differently.
Yeah, that's one thing about Trollocs, because they eat their own and they eat the dead. Like, they don't need supply lines. So you think about from, like, a warring standpoint, that's huge logistically.
Huge. They just...
If an army does not need supply lines,
they just keep
going.
They're like rats.
Yeah, exactly. So the next time on the Wheel of Reads, we'll be doing three chapters again. Three. Yeah, this is going to be, I think, the last time we do three for this book. Let me double check, like, just to make sure I'm not a liar. What do you say?
So you don't have many pages left.
Yeah, this is going to be the last time we do three chapters.
Can we just race to the end?
We're getting close, but there's a lot of big chapters coming up.
That's what she said.
But these chapters, the titles are Care for the Living is the next chapter, and then The Breaking Storm, and then The Tinker's Sword.
Oh, shit. The Tinker's Sword.
Ooh.
That's an oxymoron. That's like...
you took the words out of my mouth. Like
a large shrimp, military intelligence, a good-looking
right
Alan.
Right out of my mouth.
It's an oxymoron. A seemingly contradictory statement that nevertheless expresses a truth. No, that's a paradox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a paradox.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, oxymorons are just contradictory statements.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Those are our next three chapters. I mean,
Pythos, I had a lot of fun hanging out with you, bro.
Yeah.
The first two chapters, as I'm trying to talk about the books, you know what I was doing in my mind? 90% of my mind was focused on that mask. Are we calling it a mask? I feel like that doesn't even do it justice. It was very freaking cool.
It was cool.
Well, I can give you the person
anything,
who made
Pythos,
it,
you
but wanna, she charges ridiculous prices, so.
Yeah. Mm. Anything Pythos you want to add or
that was a pre-made. The customs are like $3,000.
Oh,
that was super cool.
Oh wow. So anything you want to add or question these guys about before we end this chapter?
No, I mean yes, but okay. I don't want to cool. lead them to anything, so spoil. I'll say no.
So we'll see you in
Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'll go with you.
See you in two or three books.
With you.
Yeah, two, three,
all the way.
Yeah. All right. So how we can be found? We can be found at The Wheel Reads on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube.
TikTok.
And
you
anywhere
where
your podcast.
Stop, TikTok.
Yeah,
you
TikTok's
don't
fun.
Stop,
I've been making lots of TikToks. I need to stop. But it's a lot of fun. Sorry, Tree. I did spill some of your art design today on TikTok because it was cool. It got a lot of views. So
lawsuit.
The new time lawsuit. I mean, we're paying for it. Whatever. So you can email me thewillreads@gmail.com. If it doesn't go to my spam folder, I will email you back immediately. If it does go to the spam folder, I check those about once a month, so I'll get to you eventually. Other than that, you can go check us out on our website. It is thewheelreads.com. And you can find links to all sorts of stuff, such as our podcast itself, or you can find links to things like our merchandise. So we have new t-shirt designs coming. A lot of fun there. Gonna be doing more giveaways soon. I think next month I'm gonna do three giveaways. So gonna be fun. So keep tuned to all the social medias. If you're not following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, those are the places I do giveaways on. So I do giveaways in all those places.
There's
and
a kitty cat coming.
You,
pause. Kitty cat.
A kitty cat. Wait, there's a kitty cat.
Yes.
There's a kitty cat.
I heard the meow. I knew it was coming. What is the name of this kitty cat?
Her name is Min.
Min.
Lovely.
With a G. Ming. Okay. Ming. Okay.
Love it.
And I thought it might have been a Wheel of Time name. Like Daniel Green has Pips for his cat. Matt's horse, Pips. Who we've already met, Pips. And then where was I? Yeah, merch. Go buy our merch or win it by following us on different social medias. Also, I do give away every once in a while on Discord. I'm going to start doing that more often. So come to our Discord. You can find links to that through our website as well. Come join the 550 people that are in our server. And that a lot of first-time readers that we love to death. And they are very active typing their way through the series, and we love their thoughts, and we love to hear yours if it's your first time, or if it's not and you just are a veteran reader, we love to hear your thoughts in our spoiler sections. And then also how to support us. You can support us through Patreon's a great way to support us. You get to listen to us live and listen to us really, really just not know what we're doing. And you get early access at different levels, early access to episodes. You might get to be on our episode like Pythos here. Occasionally we do it. Yeah, occasionally we do invite a patron on. It's not a set level perk. It's one of those things that like I might invite you.
It's like we love you. Come on, help us out.
It's like maybe if you join, I might invite you. It's like it's not a guarantee. It's just like meh, we'll see. But I won't invite you if you don't join. So there you go. Hmm. So come join us. $1 minimum level, $1 a month. You can help save a starving Ian. And then like, subscribe, share us, write some reviews. We like all that stuff. It's fun. And that's all I got. So
why don't you take a good look at yourself and describe what you see? And baby, 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 until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
K-bye. I love that you've added K-bye. That's the highlight.
Thank you for listening to The Wheel of Reads. See y'all next time.
Hello, hello, hello. Hold on. Let me make sure Python has permission to talk in here.
That would be a good thing.
Let's see. Bythos. Connect speak. Yep, you should be able to talk.
Okay, good.
We'll do a quick to make sure that we can hear everybody. Yep, we hear him. Yeah,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear Ian?
Good.
Yep, and Chris. Oh, Chris left.
Walked away for
he walked away.
He said, screw you guys.
Screw you guys. I don't want to do this anyway. All
so
right.
I'm drinking White Claws and eating a Lunchable. Welcome to the life of a bachelor pad.
Did you go sailing?
I did. It was amazing today.
Yeah.
Steady 15 knots of wind, no waves. The boat is fast as shit now.
Yeah.
It was. It's so smooth.
Now they
it's back to like. It's back to like. All right. Two clicks on the outhaul and trim the jib in half an inch and then poof, you lunge another knot. You're like you just it responds so well.
Nice.
And we're not dragging 100 pounds of barnacles anymore.
Nice.
We destroyed everybody today. We didn't even put a spinnaker up. They had us go around the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Counterclockwise.
Yep.
And we were like, every leg was a reaching leg. We finished dead downwind coming back in.
Oh, nice.
Hampton River.
Cool.
We jibed over. The bite that was trying to duck behind us didn't see that we were up against the blue water docks.
Mm-hmm.
And they crashed into a boat that was parked on the end of the T pier at Blue Water.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah. I didn't see what boat it was. I just heard, oh, my gosh, oh, no, bam, yeah. Pow, bam.
I've seen a few boats sink out there. That's always fun. All right, Chris, do mic check real fast to see here on Discord.
Mic check 1 2 1 2. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you hear Chris. Let me just. I'm gonna check a few things real fast just to see something. Okay, so it looks like Pythos, you are getting some static background through yours, but I think it's because you have an open air mic, which is fine.
It might be picking up the cooling pad I have underneath the laptop. That's
probably it. Like. That sounds exactly what it sounds like. Because it sounds like a fan running.
How's that? Better?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little better. You can hear it, but it's not as loud.
It's not as loud. Okay. Cool. Well, that's important. So.
If you haven't noticed, we don't do perfect sound on this episode, so
no,
by all means,
we don't.
Let's have a couple glitches.
Yep. So, yep, drinking White Claw tonight. Glad Ian's drinking as well.
We had two.
What? What did you say, Chris?
I'm drinking too.
Oh, you're drinking too? What are you drinking?
Johnny Walker.
Mm.
Johnny Walker.
Nice.
Wild Walker. White nice. Walker.
White I would Walker. Be drinking, but it is actually incredibly hard to drink in this get up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Considering
yeah.
I don't have an exposed mouth, really.
Pythos is a cheetah on screen. Though. He actually is wearing a cheetah mask, not just an avatar or a filter. It's actually a mask.
This is like screenshot
like
worthy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we should do screenshots.
And a really expensive one, but I don't want to get alcohol over it.
That looks really good. I thought you had a filter on.
No, this isn't the filter. This is actually a professionally
awesome.
Made. I mean, it goes all the way.
Let's see if I can put.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
Let's see if I can put it down in the chat.
Cost like 5 car payments, but.
Yeah, I bet. That's not off the shelf at Walmart. That's not a Halloween mask. That's the real deal.
Let's see if I can screenshots.
And there is actually a tail to go with it. You just can't see it while I'm sitting down.
I'll upload the screenshot up there. So, boom. Yeah, there we go. So now everybody can see it. Pythos is a cheetah.
That's cool, man.
All right, cool. Anything else we need to do before we get started? There's not much housekeeping, and we have 3 chapters to cover, so I suggest we just go ahead and get going. You ready? Ready? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Ian, you ready?
Yeah.
Ian, ready?
I have 1 cracker, cheese, and turkey combo left.
All right. One more. You'll talk after I'm done with my spiel anyway. So, brief pause.